I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep.
The way Ben puts creativity into the run game, you know, how that looks good in the show.
Yeah, he is a mastermind. And so being able to have him, sometimes he's on the headset and it's like, this is a great play call right here. Here we go. And so he did that today, and he says that to me. And so he has all belief and confidence in himself. Those little things actually provide confidence, when you're about to go call the play and, you line up and you're like, and then the play actually works. And so the belief and trust in him, the faith in him that he's dialing it up, and he does every time.
The Bears walked into D.C. despite the rain, despite the wind, despite Jaden Daniels, despite Dan Quinn. Damn, that rhymed. And snatched a statement victory, 25-24 over the Commanders. That makes three straight for the Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams showed poise down the stretch. DeAndre Swift, the man child. Shout out to whoever has him on their fantasy team. And that highlight catch and run for 55 yards, touchdown, was beautiful. The defense made plays when it mattered, whether it was Jaquan Brisker with the interception early in the game, Nashawn Wright jumping on the fumble. It was beautiful. Montez Sweat with the forced fumble, getting it out of Bill's hand. His name is Ja'Cory. I don't know why we're calling him Bill. I know what's going on there. But it was a good one nonetheless. And we are hanging out with you guys, taking phone calls. Therapist Gabe in the building, 312-644-6767. I want to hear what you got to say, man, because this one felt different. I don't know what it was. Shout out to everybody that followed me on Twitter, too. I followed a handful of people back that just followed me to check out that video. Again, somebody fell asleep while they were on hold, and I posted the video. I thought it was funny. So shout out Jordan Hooks. Shout out Blue Demon Fan. Shout out Ronnie Siganek and Steve Magnetta, the guys that just followed me again. Gabe Ramirez on Twitter. You follow me, I'll follow you right back while I'm doing the show. But I want to hear from you. I want to talk to you. I'd rather chat with you a little bit. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Mick in Franklin Park on my Northwest Burb. What's up, Mick? Welcome to the show.
How you doing, man?
I'm feeling... You're not feeling better than me, Mick. I'll tell you that.
I am. I think I am. I got to tell you, my dad, he passed away, but he had season tickets since we're to the field.
Oh wow!
And my brother and I have taken over those tickets, and. My God, I'm kind of blown away with the way the Bears are playing.
What surprises you the most? Because I got to be honest, Mick, I feel the same way.
Swift, I really had no confidence in.
Hmm.
First of all, he can't run up the middle.
Okay.
But he has some game. I was told I shouldn't swear.
Yeah, definitely don't swear. But let me ask you this, because listen, I'm a fan of DeAndre Swift. Have been since last season. I love what he did in Detroit. Really? Love what he did in Philadelphia. Yeah, I love him so much. I drafted him on my fantasy team. I thought Ben Johnson would be able to unlock it. But here's what we can agree on, right? Well, you didn't think he was able to run between the tackles last year. It's because the tackles sucked. The offensive line sucked last year.
Exactly. I mean I don't know if I agree with that.
No, Mick, I can't let you go on there. Four of the five offensive linemen are brand new this season. Those four that he was running behind last year are not there. They got Drew Dahlman, Joe Tooney, Jonah Jackson, and then now Theo Benedict on the left tackle. So the only one that's there from last year is Darnell Wright. It's literally a brand new offensive line that he's running behind.
You're right when it comes to that.
I'm glad that you love him now, Mick. I'm glad that you love him now. That's all that matters.
Well, you know what the thing is? He's kind of coming to his own. I love the Bears so much that I'll tell you what, Caleb is he's playing better. The whole team is playing better, but I'm not a big fan of Swift.
All right, I get you, man. Listen, I'll even just go over the first quarter, right? I mean, his first run of the game off the left tackle for 2 yards. Then the next run after that, it was for 7 yards. I mean, he was getting, you know, then they got Kyle Manunga in there. I mean, again, I have no problem with DeAndre Swift. You want to know why? Because he's a weapon. And when you're thinking about, you know, this Bears team and who are their weapons, I mean, listen, if you want to give DJ Moore the ball out of the backfield, sure, for gadget play situations, but you still want a dependable, reliable running back. And I think more so than anything else, Mick, I am confident in Ben Johnson being able to unlock the potential of DeAndre Swift. And I think that's what we saw today.
You know what? I agree with that, but I'll tell you what, I don't think they use Moore enough.
In the backfield or in general?
No, not in the backfield. I don't think they use him as a weapon as much. They're not using DJ Moore enough.
I hear that.
The guy is a weapon. I mean, he just has that thing. But I mean, I'm so torn. I'm so torn about
I hear what you're saying, Mick, right? It's tough. It's tough. This is an offense with a lot of different weapons. And I think the one thing that we have to understand as Bears fans, right, it's not that DJ Moore isn't being used enough, right? DJ Moore has his routes called. Ben Johnson's calling plays for him. I think the beauty of DJ Moore, right, even when he's not getting the ball, Mick, is that he's opening things up for everyone else, right? When you have DJ Moore lining up on the outside and then the opposing team's best cornerback is guarding him, and then the safety over the top is now dedicated to DJ Moore because they know that's our 1A guy right there. So you have two people accounted for in that. So that's why you're able to dump it off to DeAndre Swift, because the safety has to play back and hold true to his position. You see, the linebacker has to be mindful for Caleb Williams. DJ Moore opens it up because now the secondary cornerback is on Roma Dunze. Now Alamide Zaccheaus or Luther Burden III can have that slant route across the middle, and that opens that up as well. So, you know, even though DJ Moore isn't getting the ball, he opens up the offense for the other skill players on the team. And I think that's what he does so well. And if you didn't hear, DJ Moore taken in an ambulance, to a hospital following the game, just for precautionary reasons. I'm sure we'll learn more about it over the next couple of days. But, you know, be mindful. Check Twitter. And obviously, I'll be doing the same to give you guys updates on DJ Moore. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, hanging out with you till 5 a.m. Of course, that's when Dustin Rhodes comes in for the pregame show to handle business, and that leads you right into Mully and Hall on our Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by BC Bank and Great Clips. Olin Krutz, one of my favorites, is going to be on at 7. The coach, Dave Wannstedt, will be on at 7:40 with Mully and Hall. Then Raheemy Harrison Grody. Oh, wait. No. Let me not skip over another important person that Mully and Hall have on. TJ Edwards is going to be on at 9:30. Then Raheemy Harris Grody. They got you covered with Patrick Manley, Anthony Heron at 11 and 12:30. Then Spiegel and Holmes, Kurt Warner at 2:40. I cannot wait to hear what he has to say about Caleb Williams. And then Matt Forte, my guy. They got him on at 3 o'clock. Tyler Ferengall producing today. Phone lines are open. He's the one that's going to talk to you. 312-644-6767. Bears take down the Commanders 25-24. And we're going to be talking about it. But I can't say Matt Forte's name without throwing out there. Here's one for you if you're listening. Here's a what? This one's going to make you go, what? I DJ'd his birthday party.
What?
I told you, right? See, isn't that a good one?
So DJ Gabe?
And I don't even DJ. That's the funniest part about it. So I used to do, for those of you that don't know, I used to do the morning show at B96 for a very long time. Dollar in the bucket every time I mentioned B96. But Matt Forte used to come on the show with us every Monday for a couple of years. So we became good friends. Or no, let me take that back. He knew who I was. And obviously I was on B96. He assumed that I was a DJ. Because for a very short period of time, I was also playing the music for the Bears, like at the stadium. My first game was a Monday Night Football game with the New Orleans Saints. My boss at B96 was the guy who played like all the music before, you know, like the third downs. Like, it's third down. And like, dun, 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 dun. So I did that. And then Matt assumed that I was a DJ. And he was like, can you DJ my birthday party? And I'm like, absolutely. I just said yes.
Can't say no to that.
Even though I don't DJ. So I called my boy up, who is a DJ. And I was like, yo, we're about to DJ Matt Forte's birthday party. And you know where it was at? The Bugatti store.
Oh, my.
Right, wow. In the Gold Coast. He had it in the Bugatti store, which is
you
wild.
You were probably like, this is something that I would have never even imagined that I would do in
so,
my life.
Shout out to Matt Forte.
Wow.
He's a real one.
I also can't wait to hear what he has to say about DeAndre Swift.
Or I thought you were going to say what he has to say about my DJ
No,
skills.
No, no. For real. Football, though. I was going to say earlier, though Gabe, yeah. I know you're going back to the guest list. We gave DeAndre Swift his flowers earlier. The offensive line was great.
It's great.
Great. The pushing blocking downfield was yes. fantastic.
It was for the first time that I saw a consistent movement forward from the offensive line. You always hear about how the Bears struggle in pass protection and their run, you know, run blocking is the strength, but it seemed like they had a little oomph there. And I don't know if it was the insertion of Theo Benedict. I don't know if the line felt better playing together with Darnell Wright being back. Something was there. You're absolutely right. And you got to tip your cap to them. And I'm sure DeAndre Swift, when given that game ball, certainly shouted them out
as
well.
Maybe they have found the perfect combination.
Could be. Hey, how often have we as Bears fans, you and I included, have seen a carousel of O-linemen? You know what I'm saying? Like, how often do we hear other teams say, oh, this same starting lineup has been with them 7 games and whatever that might have been. But you know what? Don't worry about it. Let's take some more phone calls. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Angelo out in Vernon Hills. Angelo, are you feeling as good as I am? I feel like I don't even got to drink coffee to do this show today.
Gabe, I don't know. How good are you feeling?
Well, I don't know. I'll let you know if I'm feeling better than you. How good are you feeling?
I feel great. It was. I mean, I feel great now. I was pacing the entire game.
Fair, fair.
I think my largest point would be, it was really nice to see a competently coached game.
Preach.
Throughout. It was. I mean, listen. I feel much better about this 3-2 team going forward than I did about the 4-2 team walking in.
That's a line right there.
Okay. I believe that that was smoke and mirrors last year, and they showed, I'm sorry, but they showed their booty last year. And this year, I mean, I'm still cautiously optimistic, but it's great to see. They walked into Washington and won a game. I don't care if it was by 1 or 21. I don't care the weather. I don't care about any of it. They won the game.
Yeah, it was impressive, and there were moments. I mean, because this is a game where Angelo, you know, the Bears could have easily lost. I mean, if they don't fumble the ball on that third down, they were moving the ball at will. You know, whether it was RPOs or finding the quick throw to the outside. I mean, the Commanders look like a competent team, but this is a team that made a deep playoff run last year, right? This isn't just some regular run of the mill squad. You beat a good team on the road.
Who wasn't playing? We had our own problems, right? You know what they did? In my belief,
okay,
they ran a lot of zone read run, I believe that's why Swift was so. And not only that, there was a Roschon Johnson sighting.
You saw that, right? With his big ass helmet.
All three of them were successful in what they did. They ran the ball. They ran the ball really well, and they played great defense.
Yeah,
they really did. And let other teams make the mistake. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, but the Bears obviously had a lot of penalties in that situation, which really cost them. But I think you bring up a really great point, Angelo, and it is that, you know, the zone reads. When you have Theo Benedict on the outside where he's, you know, he can seal the edge, it allows for screens, it allows for zone reads, and you need that movement skill. And that's exactly what Theo Benedict showed yesterday.
All five of them. All of them. That unit was really good. And it did anybody, and I know they rotate, but that was the core five. They were pushing the ball upfield. They were pushing the line upfield. I'm sorry. And they kicked some rear end. They did really well.
So let me ask you this, right? Because a lot of people are talking about the upcoming schedule for the Chicago Bears, right? I mean, next you got the New Orleans Saints, Spencer Rattler coming to town. You don't know if the Ravens are going to have, you know, Lamar Jackson at that point, and then the Bengals. You know, they're going to come in with Joe Flacco, or we're going to go over there with Joe Flacco, and after that, Jackson Dart, and then you get Minnesota again. I mean, I'm not counting victories, but I'm saying if you're talking about a team that's looking to build confidence, this is the schedule to continue to do that.
The next five games, if you had looked at them when the schedule came out, people would have marked loss, loss, loss. Now, most of them are toss-ups. And I feel good. I feel better about that, obviously, right? I mean, I hate the, you know, doing the predictions and all that, but I think they have a solid chance to win the next five games. I'm not saying they will. All I'm saying is, you know, hey, stay healthy, you know, continue to grow, be competent. When you allowed me to make the call and get on, my largest point is thank you for showing me a competent game.
Yeah.
Let's talk about last year real quick. Everybody talked about the Hail or Fail Mary, but really it was the play before that allowed it to happen. And then that happened. And then they shrugged it off in the post game. And I don't want to talk about Eberflus anymore. But what I'm saying is those things should not and seem to not happen any longer.
Let me ask you this, Angelo, just on the way out here. You know, when you're talking about this game, and I know you talked about a competently coached game, one that seemed, you know, just on all sides of the ball, all three phases seemed complete. But – you know, after the late Jaden Daniels fumble, right, and the Nashawn Wright recovery to set up the winner, in your mind, was this game more about the Bears' resilience or about the Commanders' mistakes? Because you can make the argument for both.
I would – it wasn't more about any one of those things. I would say that before that happened, I said, hey, we need something to happen here. I was like, literally like, oh my gosh, we need something. And it happened for them on the defensive side of the ball. They were able to, yes, they made a mistake. We were able to capitalize on it. Those things happen in football games. I guess my point is we're not always the one making those mistakes now, or at least whatever the situation is, you have to manage that situation in that moment. And they did it.
Yeah, they did,
and
man.
That's what I was happy with. Like, all right, you know, some of the narrative in the beginning of the broadcast was they weren't able to take advantage of the mistakes early in the game. But if you really look at it, what did they do the first three possessions? Field goal, touchdown,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you want touchdowns, and I still believe one was taken away on that Adunze.
Oh, it's painful.
Touchdown. That was, and I understand the NFL is focusing on it, and the refs have to call it. If I were Ben Johnson, I'd be all over them for that call. Okay, but whatever. Maybe you have to be the Chiefs to earn that, or maybe you have to be another – maybe you have to earn that to not be a call. But I guess – I'll tell you what. Maybe you win the next, you know, 4 out of 5 or whatever, and you are that team. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm just glad. It was very refreshing to see a game managed by competent people to get us to a 25-24 win in Washington, in poor conditions, all the other stuff, all the headwinds you have to deal with. They did it. And that was very pleasing to me. So I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Love it, man. Angelo, thanks for the call. Appreciate you calling in. Again, phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez here with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday. Presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Bears win 25-24 over the Washington Commanders. They go into D.C., with the rain, with the bad weather, with the revenge game still lingering, of course, and handle business in the way that they only can. I mean, obviously, a lot of mistakes on the day. You know, one thing that stood out to me, a lot of people are talking about, there was a lot of no huddle ran by the Washington Commanders. I don't know if that was intentional to keep the Bears gassed, because that's something that they've done over the last couple of games, kind of falter in the fourth quarter. But or maybe they just didn't want them to switch out personnel. But for whatever the case was, a lot of no huddle, a lot of that. And then, you know, just a lot of bad mistakes on third down from the Chicago Bears. You know, the first touchdown from the Washington Commanders, this was in the second quarter. You know, the Bears had them 3rd and 6, incomplete pass. But then Nashawn Wright with that face mask, which seemed soft too. The face mask, it looked like he didn't necessarily pull it or anything. He just kind of, you know, was trying to just create some contact with him. But again, moments like that throughout the game, but a resilient victory, a gritty victory for the Bears. Listen, we can sit up here and talk about everything that went wrong, right? And I'm sure we would have had the Bears lost. But the fact of the matter is, throughout the course of any NFL game, there are going to be moments like that. No game is perfect. You're going to have some flubs. It's how you rebound. It's how you bounce back. Listen, they could have fumbled the ball and got it back on 3rd and 1. And then punted and pinned the Bears in the corner and made Caleb Williams' job more difficult. But you got to play to the whistle. Nashawn Wright has to jump on the ball. There still has to be a level of believability that they were going to stop him on 3rd and 1 to get the ball back anyway. And those are the small things that you saw, right? Despite all the penalties on the defensive side of the ball, they still showed up because they had created so many turnovers up to that point. The interception by Jaquan Brisker, the forced fumble by Montez Sweat, recovered by TJ Edwards, and then ultimately the botched handoff from Jaden Daniels that Nashawn Wright recovered. I mean, it takes moments like these throughout a game in order to get the victory, and it's exactly what the Bears did in this one. But hey, man, we are going to take more of your phone calls because we're going to be hanging out with you live and local till 5 o'clock. It's when we hand it off to Dustin Rhodes in the pregame show. But in the meantime, what are your thoughts on this one? When you're talking about this game, Is it DeAndre Swift and the explosive runs? Was it the Bears jumping out to a 13-0 lead and, you know, coming back after giving up the whole thing? Does it feel like a culture shift for you, or is it just a one-off thriller? I want to hear it all. 312. And I still want to hear about Troy Aikman. I heard we got a clip that I want to play, but I want to get your personal perspective on what you thought was going on with the hater Troy Aikman. 312-644-6767. I am Gabe Ramirez. More of your calls next, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Live and local right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you till 5 a.m. That's right. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, a Victory Tuesday for your Chicago Bears. And, of course, the phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Bears defeat the Washington Commanders 25-24 on a last-second field goal for Mr. Moody straight off the practice squad. Of course, started the season with the San Francisco 49ers. Cairo Santos couldn't make it today. So, of course, the Bears get the big boost down 22-24. Commanders had the ball. Fourth quarter, third and one, looking to seal the thing on the Bears' own 40-yard line. Jaden Daniels with the fumble as he was trying to give it to Ja'Cory Merrick-Crosby. And then, of course, Bears get the ball back. Nashawn Wright ends up getting the ball back. Caleb drives down the field. Ben Johnson talked about it in his postgame. Said, hey, Caleb, tell the big boys up front. We're going to lean on them. We're going to lean on DeAndre Swift. And then we're going to go ahead and take this thing home, and it's exactly what they did. So we're taking your phone calls. Again, 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Sammy on the south side. Sammy, what'd you think about this one?
What's up, Gabe? How you doing, brother?
Doing good, man. Hanging in there.
Man, this is a great win, bro. This is a great win. I like what Ben Johnson is doing. I like what the defense is doing. You know, the running game showed up today. Like, this whole organization is moving to a positive, you know. So we're not like the Mickey Mouse organization anymore. Like, we're getting like taken seriously nowadays, I think.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny you say that, Sammy, because my big thing has been this, right? With this Bears team and where I want the direction of this team to go, is I'm tired of as a Bears fan looking at the schedule and being fearful of opponents, right? Like, oh no, we got to go up against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Oh no, we got to face Josh Allen and the Bills. And I want to be that team. I want to be the team that people look at and say, damn, we got to go up against Caleb Williams and the Bears. And I think that's the direction that they're headed in.
No, I totally agree with you, man. Hey, and by the way, Gabe, you're doing a great job, man. I love what you're doing. You're representing the Latino community in a very positive way. And you're an inspiration, brother. That's all I want to say. But you know what? Caleb Williams, I think, is the real deal that he makes me want to paint my nails, and I want to start painting my nails like my toes. I got a little fungus on my like my right toe, so maybe if I could do like a little black, I think I could start that way. But
what are you talking about, Sammy? I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for calling. And of course, you know, I think more, and I appreciate what you said about, you know, the Latinos representing out here, right? There's not many of us that are out talking about sports in the city of Chicago. I certainly am one of them. And, you know, I wear that hat with pride. But you know what? What we have in common, whether you're Latino or not, is the fact that we're Bears fans. We're feeling good about this victory. And I think the direction that this Bears team is headed in is certainly a positive one, right? Whether you're talking about the coaching staff, I think, you know, the first couple of games of the season, you weren't quite sure if you saw the impact of Ben Johnson and his offensive play calling, but you saw it today, right? Just it kept the opponent off balance. And I think they went in with that game plan, whether it was leaning on DeAndre Swift, getting the ball out of Caleb Williams' hands quickly, but also allowing for some big play moments. And I think that's exactly what you saw at the end of this one. Again, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. I'm going to be handing it off to Dustin Rhodes. That happens at 5 o'clock. He's going to hit you with the pregame show. That's going to lead you right into Mullion Hall. They got some great guests for you. Former Chicago Bear Olin Krutz is going to be on with the fellas at 7 o'clock. Then former Bear coach Dave Wannstedt, 7:40. Make sure you're here for that. Then at 9:30, the man who made his way back onto the field, TJ Edwards, is going to be hanging out with Mullion Hall as well. Then Rahimi, Harris, Grody. They got Patrick Manley at 11, who just finished the postgame show with Chuck Swirsky and Olin Krutz. 11 a.m., he'll be joining the fellas and Layla. And then Anthony Heron at 12:25. Then Spiegel and Holmes. Kurt Warner, 2:40. You know he's going to say some great stuff about Caleb Williams. And then Matt Forte is going to jump on at 3 o'clock. But right now, phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Ryan out in Oak Forest. All right, Ryan, so you took a look at the box score. You saw the game. What are your thoughts about this one?
Well, I mean, this game wasn't as close as the box score, and anyone who just checked the score every now and then on their night shift would think. Because, you know, we were the better team through and through, and I won't say that, oh, the refs wanted us to lose. I mean, maybe Troy Aikman did for some reason. I don't know. You forgot where he came from. But I just know that they're coming back, the refs, they're coming back with those big smirks thinking, you know, hey, see, we didn't help them win.
Yeah, like, it felt that way a little bit, right?
Yes, because like if Laramie Tunzel, right, if he lined up too far back on a touchdown, I don't know if that would have been called. And if Deebo Samuel, you know, who was locked up, if he was too far forward on a clutch first down game, that's not getting called either. And as I just mentioned, a big credit to Tyreek Stevenson. They won't let me out. You know, he strapped him up in one of the most personal games that a DB can play.
Okay, first of all, I love your hip-hop knowledge and how you're dropping bars in the middle of your hot take, which I really appreciate there, Ryan. But I think you're right, right? Deebo Samuel, of course, didn't have Terry McLaurin there. You got to have more than one weapon in order to, you know, have the defense focused on other parts. So that's, you know, that's one instance. Jaden Daniels obviously dealing with the knee issue, but it doesn't matter, right? Tyreek Stevenson still has to step up. We're without Jalen Johnson. Everyone's dealing with injuries throughout the league. But you bring up the penalties. I felt like, I don't know, man. There were some of them where I felt like they were self-inflicted, right? It's not like we're talking about a Bears team that has played clean football throughout the first four games of the season. They have had self-inflicted wounds. So whether it was Montez Sweat with the foolish swipe of the face of Jaden Daniels that cost the Bears on a third down, or whether it was, you know, I think it was Nashon Wright with the face mask penalty on another third down instance. So there's moments like that. But again, you got to play a clean game. And I think I've been mentioning it a lot. Throughout a game, you're going to have some highs, you're going to have some lows. That's the roller coaster of the NFL 60 minutes. But ultimately, at the very end, if you can come out with that victory, that's what matters. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, it's not like a college Saturday game where like one team is clearly more talented than the other, right? You know, in the NFL. And I guess speaking of that, like we have an undrafted left tackle I guess I also got to give mention to Theo Benedict.
Big shout out.
He also played the role of Jail Warden in his first start. However, his matchup was mainly former Bears legend Jacob Martin. I mean, he's no threat at all, but still, I'd say Theo and Tyreek get the Ryan from Oak Forest Player of the Game awards.
Fair enough. Hopefully I get the post game of the year awards from Ryan as well. Ryan, I appreciate you calling in. Again, phone lines are open. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score, live and local. Live at 1:41 in the morning for you, all my third shifters, everybody that's just getting home from their friends' houses, that just want to hear some enthusiasm when it comes to this Bears victory. Again, man, over the last couple of seasons, it's been rough. I mean, the Bears were 4-2 heading into Washington last year before the Fail Mary. So you felt good at the beginning of last season, but this feels different. There's a level of believability here, and it all starts for me. I know you gave out the game balls to Tyreek Stevenson. Let's not forget the double move cost him the big touchdown there. But for me, it's Caleb Williams, right? To put points on the board, let me see. How many times did, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. You know how many? Oh, yeah, he had two punts, Torrey Taylor. Just two. Can't be mad at that. We've seen a lot more than that. Caleb Williams said you're not going to be punting much. At least that's what he told Torrey Taylor. He only had two on the day. I just felt like there were a bunch of sustained drives, only 1 3-and-out on the day. It was just a good all-around performance by everyone. What's an area of concern for me? And shout out to everybody that's watching on TikTok Live. The area of concern for me is kickoffs. That's a big area of concern. I mean, I know that, you know, Luke McCaffrey is lightning quick. But I felt like every time they started, they were on like the 42-yard line because of his kickoffs. Do you know what I'm talking about, Tyler? Tyler Ferengul producing today.
Richard Hightower did say this week they had a big challenge ahead of them with Washington's special teams unit.
Well, I mean, it's not just theirs, right? I mean, if you think back to even the Raiders game.
That's true.
Right? And the fourth quarter, the last kickoff, that went for 40-some yards. I mean, I would like to see some, you know what, I'm going to ask you to do a deep dive if you can find that. Like, stats on kickoff yards allowed. Like, what are the rankings are in the league?
Yeah, and another thing that I picked up too, at least for this game, but I think also going back another game or two, the Bears aren't getting their own kickoffs past like the 25 or 30. And Devin Duvernay is a really good special teams
He's
returner.
Good. He's so good. I mean, you know, he was good on the Ravens.
Yeah.
But if you notice, teams know not to kick it to Luther Burden.
Yes.
So that's what you're ultimately seeing. They're just like, don't kick it to that guy. Kick it to Devin Duvernay, and he doesn't have that breakaway speed. He's more of the sure-handed guy that's a punt returner. So you can see what the thought process
and
is there.
And I know it wasn't special teams, but look at the couple of times that Luther Burden touched the ball in that game. It was explosive.
Oh, yeah. And he's a guy that is going to continue to contribute at a high level. You know, again, you would love to see Colston Loveland doing the same thing. Here's something else that I noticed with the Bears offense. Again, phone lines are open. Taking your call, 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Sometimes the one thing I don't like about Ben Johnson's offense is he tries to get too many people involved. Like, oh, Colston Loveland's in the game, got to get him the ball. Like, oh, I want to get him going. If it's not DJ Moore, right, that's the only person I think you should forcefully get the ball to because he's a proven playmaker in the NFL. Outside of that, I don't need you forcing it to Colston Loveland just to prove yourself right that you drafted the right tight end. No. Listen, we all know that Tyler Warren's better than Colston Loveland. We figured that out already, right? Now I just need you to be competent at this point and hopefully at some point contribute to the Bears offense as a whole. But again, we'll get to that a little bit later. Speaking of Colston Loveland, two catches for 11 yards on three targets. Just saying there. Tyler Warren would look great, as would Michael Williams, defensive end that plays for the 49ers right now. But I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. Therapist Gabe isn't here to bring you down. I want to bring you up. So come sit on the couch. Come talk to me about your positive and negative feelings about this one. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Sebastian out in Naperville. Sebastian, I know you're feeling good about this one.
Oh, no, of course. Actually, I'm ecstatic. Oh, my God. I don't want to sound bad like this, but I think it's a good but bad victory in one way.
All right, tell me more.
Bears were not as clean as they should have been, but as I'm rewatching this game again, some of those penalties, I'm not really like, you know, the touchdown they took away from Dunes. Theo Bendit not being in proper formation. I'm trying to look at that. It's so ticky-tack. Nation Wright with the face mask. You know, it's very – there is a lot of these things. I get it. It's this point of emphasis.
The offensive pass interference, trash on Coast and Loveland.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's when you were telling me about how Loveland had those numbers. You know what? He did a good job. He actually did it. It was weird that he – I mean, this is football. And that's what I'm kind of like seeing in this game. I actually literally thought when I'm watching this game, it's like, okay, how many, like the first eight penalties were against the Bears? And I even will tell you this, there's a couple of penalties against Washington I didn't really agree with either. When I'm like looking at it, I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing here? And maybe I'm just very old school, 80s, 90s type of person to where I'm like, no, we got to play football. But I really thought sometimes with the officiating, this game could have gone either which way.
Yeah, I mean, either listen, we could be having a much different conversation, right? If the Bears end up losing this game, we'd be talking about the penalties and how they're damning the Bears. We could talk about, you know, the inability to stop the offense of the Washington Commanders. We would be talking about, Sebastian? We'd be talking about the poor play of the cornerbacks and how they all got beat on three long touchdowns. Whether it was Tyreek Stevenson, whether it was Jaquan Brisker or Kyler Gordon, all getting crushed on the back end when, you know, but that comes because no pressure up the front, right? I mean, Javon Dexter had a sack and a half. Like, you got a little bit there.
One thing, though? I'm very impressed, and normally I'm not. Our front line actually got more pressure and did more better than I've ever seen them in all the games this year, where it seemed like our guys were getting some pressure and moving up. And I never saw that before. It looked like, you know, and I know that Allen was, you know, sending an extra guy in, but it did seem like they were like moving. I've never seen our front four be as effective. Well, I was surprised.
Yeah, Dennis Allen made some adjustments. He, you know, he put Shamar Turner in the middle. Obviously, no Grady Jarrett today, out with a knee issue. You're thinking about Shamar Turner. You already got your defensive end, so you say, hey, you know what? You're a big body. Let's put you in the middle. And you know, he came through, and that's what you ultimately want. Not enough pressure, right? But you saw the guys playing with a chip on their shoulder, and I think that was important. Whether it was Montez Sweat, maybe he had a little more juice because he was going up against his former team, or he just heard the rumblings throughout the Chicagoland area saying that he's overpaid, right? I mean, these guys stepped up. You saw Andrew Billings being a force up the middle, but you definitely saw a little bit more oomph, a little bit more grit from this Bears defense, right?
I was surprised by their I'm really shocked when the Washington Commanders are supposed to be the better running team, and we, like, you know, I'm gonna give all credit to Swift over here. Like, what he did, like, he was the MVP of the game in terms of, like, he was getting runs. They're throwing it out, and he just was moving the ball. And I was just shocked that we ran so well, and the Commanders did not run as well against us.
I mean, they had 124 yards rushing, right? Kroski Merritt at 61, Jaden Daniels, which is just like the Bears when they had Justin Fields. The real reason why you're leading the league in rushing is because your quarterback is your second leading rusher, right? And so, you know, they ran the ball a bunch. You know, they did well, but again, it's about consistency. And DeAndre Swift, the reason why he had so much success was that he was able to have some good plays called for him by Ben Johnson. Even in the last drive of the game when they were trying to set up a game-winning field goal, the ability to get to the outside, right, using your strengths, and that's what DeAndre Swift's strengths are, getting to the outside. And so for me, you know, you're able to leverage that. And then Kyle Manungai looked solid. You saw Roschon Johnson with the one rush, but Kyle Manungai looked like he had a chip on his shoulder. Let's not forget, for those of you that don't know, Jakori Kroski-Merritt, or Bill, as they're calling him, Bill Kroski-Merritt, was taken 12 picks after Kyle Manungai. Let that sink in. Kyle Manungai, our seventh-round draft pick. Kroski-Merritt was also a seventh-round draft pick. Now, from what David Hall told me and Ruthie Polinsky, we all did the Chicago lead today on CHSN, and it was that Kroski-Merritt didn't play a lot of his senior season, and apparently he had some... I didn't double check this, but this is what they were saying to me. Some like personality issues. And so that's why he slipped in the draft. But still, you know, Bears selected Kyle Manungai before they took Kroski-Merritt, and these guys are going up against each other. So it's not just the 1-2 of Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. It's also the running back situation. So Kyle Manungai looked like he had a little oomph behind him as he was making some runs today. And again, you saw some good ones. 5 carries, 19 yards at the long of 7. DeAndre Swift, 14 carries, 108 yards, averaging out 7.7 with a long of 19. Caleb Williams obviously had himself the touchdown run. And, you know, a lot of people were talking about, and I've been asking about this, about Troy Aikman and what the issue was here. And I know they were saying that this happened on the back of a DeAndre Swift run. So I want to take a listen to it. I want to play it for you. Again, if you're just tuning in, I got 3 kids, same baby mama. That's my favorite joke. I don't know why it's my favorite joke. My favorite joke. But 3 baby mamas. So I was putting my 2 kids to bed, watching the game on my phone, but I was watching it on mute. So I didn't get a chance to hear it. All right. So this is Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score, Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank. And of course, great clips. But here's the DeAndre Swift run. And what Troy Aikman says at the tail end is what a lot of people were complaining about. Take a listen.
Now 3rd down and 4. Play clock is at 2. They just got it away. And it's Swift with a catch. And still going. DeAndre Swift veers into the end zone. Juan Martin missed a tackle along the way. They needed 4 on 3rd down. They get 55, and they barely got this play away before the play clock expired.
They barely get it off. DJ Moore, he's going to take out 2 guys. So as he pushes up, he runs 1 defender into the defender who's supposed to be covering DeAndre Swift. And that's why Swift was as open as he is. And then you make 1 guy miss, and now with his speed, he's off to the races. So luck on Chicago's part. It really wasn't so much intended to be a pick, but it turned into that just based on how it was defended.
Okay, I can see that. He says it was luck. Caleb Williams said he called the wrong play or something like that. So, I mean, I get it. But look, my group chat was going crazy because people...
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kept talking about how Troy Aikman and Joe Buck were just like putting Jaden Daniels on a pedestal and kind of crapping on Caleb Williams. But you know what? Last laugh goes to us because we ended up getting the victory. And by us, I mean the Chicago fan base along with the Chicago Bears, right? Bears get the victory 25-24. Bears score in every quarter again. They've scored in all but 2 quarters this entire season. And it's quite the feat when you're talking about Ben Johnson and how he's changed this offense. But, you know, and they could have had 3 extra points, right? Obviously, Moody had his 48-yard field goal blocked by Deron Payne in the 4th. That was tough. And, you know, Bears get the 3-game winning streak. You got to check when the last 3-game winning streak for the Bears was.
It was last year.
Oh, was it?
It was Rams, Panthers, Jaguars.
I
had another interesting thought there for your quarter thing. Do you know the two quarters that they haven't scored in this year? Because I have a guess on what one of them is.
You know what? I quickly went through all the games and saw the quarters and just saw. So I couldn't tell you which ones they were. But
I have a random guess that the one of them was that Dallas game in the fourth quarter, because I know they had that long drive. Not 100% sure, though.
Yeah. I mean, we can do some research on that and find out exactly what the quarters were. But it's just a great stat nonetheless. Right? The fact that they're able to put up that many points.
Baby T will be on that.
I love it. All right. Baby T, before you do that, let's go to Steven out in Detroit. He's been a hoe for quite some time, so I want to get his thoughts in before we go to break. Steven, you there?
I'm here. Thank you. Good morning.
Of course. Good morning. So what'd you think about this Bears victory?
It was an absolute ref show. You know, it was like the Bears versus Commanders plus the refs pretty much all night. Every time the refs threw a flag, my heart literally stopped because I know the Bears were going to get screwed. And, you know, usually in those types of games, the Bears never recover and win. But I got to tell you, these Bears are a different animal. And I like what Ben Johnson is doing. And he is becoming a real deal. Not the Bears won after the bye. That was a major problem in the past. Ben Johnson said he was going to look into the running game and didn't blame it all on DeAndre Swift. I didn't think Theo Bennett was going to be that much of a difference, and I was completely blown away just how bad, with all due respect to Braxton Jones, was all these years when he was a left tackle. And Theo Benedict really opened up the running game, and, you know, credit to DeAndre Swift also. He really run hard. He hit the hole quickly. Obviously, he's still not the 2025, like a workhorse back that the Bears still probably need and may still end up going for in the trade market if the Bears continue to keep winning. So I'm really happy that this win finally put the exonerated the Hail Mary or Fail Mary, whatever you want to call it, from last year that really sent the season into the spiral. I just hope that this is the start of the new Bears, and Ben Johnson is really making a believer out of everybody. And I think this is the victory that we could probably look back a few years from now, hopefully, and say this is where the Bears' fortunes completely changed, because they finally were able to win against all odds. Thank you.
No. Don't go anywhere, Steven. You don't gotta hang out. We can have a conversation for a second.
Okay,
yeah, for sure. Listen, I understand what you're saying in regards to DeAndre Swift. I think Ben Johnson touched on it a little earlier when he said, hey, we're not going to be in the trade market for someone. We just need people to execute, right? Whether it's the offensive line or DeAndre Swift, as you touched on. But he's more than capable, DeAndre Swift, right? He's someone that can be a weapon. And when you're thinking about the offense of the Chicago Bears, obviously wide receiver heavy, the two tight ends that you feel like you can depend on. So you don't need a ton from DeAndre Swift. You need him to be capable. And that starts with the offensive line. And we saw a very different offensive line today with Theo Benedict on the left. Of course, up the middle looking good with Joe Tooney. And then Darnell Wright coming back from the elbow injury, just really making an impact as well. But this team, I think what you said that's the most compelling is that this might be a victory we look at in a couple of years when trying to pinpoint when the Bears created that identity, right? And Olin Krutz said it on the postgame show. This was a game that you felt like the Bears can repeat in order to stack victories. And you can see that if they can, obviously you're not going to get that kind of productivity from DeAndre Swift week in and week out, but if you can get some semblance of that while allowing Caleb Williams, I got people on my TikTok right now. I'm doing a TikTok live where they're saying that Caleb Williams didn't turn enough of the turnovers into touchdowns, right? And so, but I have confidence in Caleb Williams that he'll be able to do that, right, consistently. And he's proven that he can put points on the board, but consistently. And I think that's what you ultimately want, right? But in your mind, I have this question for you, Stephen, before I let you go, is that which side of the ball do you think is more important for this Bears team to have sustained success?
Right now, I will say that the defense has to step it up big time. Even with the return of Kyler Gordon and DJ Edwards, you know, the defense did not look all that impressive tonight. I think the tackling has been a major issue throughout the season, which obviously has kind of contributed to the bad running run defense. You know, tonight I think we saw a little bit of that again, you know, with Jaden Daniels, very elusive, and yet the Bears still couldn't bring him down. There was, I think, only one sack overall tonight. I think the defense has to do its part with the talent that they have, and it's understandable that Dennis Allen has his hands tied. And it's basically like either a turnover or a touchdown basically every single time the Bears defense takes the field. So that's a bit of a maddening situation.
That's a great point.
So, you know, the defense has to do their part. I don't know if they're going to go out on the market to get somebody from the teams that are, you know, completely out of the playoff picture right now. I know asking Ryan Poles to trade away another draft pick for an established player is not something that the Bears fans are very fond of, given the lack of production from Montez Sweat at this moment. So, you know, we'll get there when we cross that bridge, you know, if the Bears are, you know, on a 4-game or 5-game winning streak. But hopefully this is where I think the Bears are making that turn, and then maybe the Bears decide it's worth suing somebody, you know, not just for this year, but also next year and beyond. Now that the Bears have, you know, the offense that they can at least score, and they just need defense to do their part.
So. Yeah, I agree, man. Steven, thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in from Detroit and jumping on the show today.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, live and local until 5 a.m. on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. On the other side, more of your phone calls. Of course, we want to talk about the Bears' victory. For the second victory in a row, the Bears win 25-24. That was the score for the Las Vegas Raiders game. That is incredible.
I don't think any team has ever won back-to-back games with that score.
Especially
before.
Not 25-24. That one sounds wild.
25 is not a football final score.
At all. But how worried are you about the self-inflicted offensive penalties in the red zone for the Chicago Bears? How concerned are you with Caleb Williams? Like people are saying in the comments, the inability to put up some touchdowns in the red zone as well. Love to hear your thoughts on this victory and how good are you feeling about this squad. 312-644-6767. I want your phone calls, and we'll hear a little bit from Ben Johnson and what he had to say following the Bears' victory. We'll do all of that on the other side right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.